is the Panthers Pulse, an inside look at the Carolina Panthers and the National Football League, exclusively at Panthers.com.
It's radio, it's television, and it's on the web. We call it Panthers Pulse. It's Mike Kraft, along with the Panthers.com crew, Brian Strickland and Max Henson. And guys, we will get right to it. Big news yesterday, Max, you broke the story about three Panthers who will have surgery in the next, well, one has already taken place, but in the next few days and weeks. Give us an update.
Yeah, well, of course, three players start with the quarterback Cam Newton, defensive end Charles Johnson, wide receiver Jameer Burr. They're all going to undergo some offseason surgeries. All three are projected to be ready for the start of training camp, so that's a good news right off the bat. But, of course, surgery is a big deal, and for quarterback Cam Newton, this was something that the Panthers hoped to be able to avoid right after the season ended. It was clear the past few weeks of the season, Cam was on the injury report with that shoulder, that there was an issue there, and they were always going to try to see if rest and rehabilitation would be able to kind of solve the problem. Now, he had a partially torn rotator cuff, and they hoped that that rest and rehab would do the trick, but after kind of some weeks and months had passed, it was determined that the pain was just getting to be a little bit too high, and then they had a decision to make. With that pain and looking at the timeline of the offseason, how far out they were from the start of training camp and, of course, the start of the regular season, by doing surgery now, he's given himself enough time to rest, recover, and rehab after that surgery to be back in time, hopefully, for training camp. So that's kind of where things stand for Cam Newton. Of course, when your starting quarterback is having surgery on his shoulder, it's a big story. It's a big deal. The Panthers, of course, trust everything that they're being told from the doctors, the athletic training staff. Everybody feels really confident about this course of action. He's in great shape right now. He's been working out all offseason. They feel great about the shape he's in. He's going to be able to continue to work out. Of course, not in the upper body, but go through his cardio and condition his body for that opportunity when he can get back out there and start throwing. And really, I'd encourage people to go to Panthers.com, look at the story we've got with Ryan Vermilion, the head athletic trainer. He lays out the entire plan, both after the season, then after surgery, of how they're going to proceed with Cam. And you can check out all the details right there on Panthers.com.
Yeah, a good story and a good get because it really laid it out. So that's definitely worth reading. Brian, as we look at the decision on Charles Johnson, pretty similar scenario as far as the need to have the surgery right now.
Yeah, I mean, with Charles Johnson and Demir Byrd, I mean, this is football. These guys are playing. It's a reality of the offseason. I mean, every offseason you're going to have these stories, you know, who needs a little more help, who needs to go under the knife, and what's the time frame. And I think, you know, it's lost in that sometimes is, I mean, the time frame, you know, the time frame, that's the key, and everything seems good along those lines. These are just things that need to be done in the case of Charles and Demir. You know, as I kind of commented yesterday, like, you know, Charles, given where he is in his career, is motivated to do all the right things and make sure that timeline sticks. And then Demir Byrd, here he is, where he is in his development, obviously, like, he's got a golden opportunity perhaps next year early in his career. He's got the same type of motivation to get back and be the player that they were before this happened. So, again, you know, overall, I think it's a reality of the league that these things have to happen every year, just the nature of the game of football, but the timelines all look good.
That's good. That's good. Well, Max, I know our fans have reacted very heavily on social media. What can you tell us about that?
Well, of course, you've got an outpouring of support from Panther fans all across social media with well wishes for Cam, Demir, Charles. Everybody wants to see these guys get back on the field as fast as possible and hope they recover and do it quickly. And, you know, because it's about football, of course, and it's also about these guys, you know, as human beings. You know, anytime you go under the knife, that's a big deal for somebody. So, of course, the well wishes being sent out all across social media. And we got some questions, too, of course, as we always do on this show, Mike. The first one comes from Thomas Frisbee, who says, with the surgery Cam is having, do the Panthers draft a quarterback or get one in free agency, or are they content with Derek Anderson as their backup? So of course, speaking about acquiring somebody else as a backup quarterback behind Cam.
Yeah, Thomas Frisbee just tossed that one out there. Nice, a little lob. I'm sorry, couldn't help myself. Took a flyer. Yeah, I mean, understandable. Again, I would go back to what I was talking about the time frame. We have a quarterback. Cam Newton is that quarterback. Derek Anderson has proven that if it comes down to it, that he can step in and fill the void, so to speak. So the time frame's good for Cam. You know, you don't just draft a quarterback because you think that maybe, you know, somebody's going to get off to a slow start or whatever you might think along those lines as far as how things would go with Cam. But it's the same approach with the draft, too. The Panthers are looking for opportunities. I feel like they've been, you know, open to picking a quarterback in later rounds of recent drafts, even just if it's the same formula, Mike, we talked about a million times, best available player, and if it's there, it doesn't matter about the position.
Yeah, when you say best available player in our system, you know, certain quarterbacks will fit our system, certain quarterbacks will not. So I have to think that along in the draft, if your draft board stacks up so that your next best available player is a quarterback at that position, I don't see any reason why you should shy away from picking a quarterback, because we all know football, you know, there's a lot of turnover and things happen. Right. And you have to be prepared for every eventuality. And I think, yes, we do have confidence in Derek Anderson. He has proved his value to this team. And when I say that, I just don't mean in games. I mean, you have to watch Derek Anderson in practice, mm-hmm. because he does his job. He gives our defense fits. He's also prepared. He's also a good sounding board for Cam and the other quarterbacks in that room. And to draft a quarterback is not an indictment against Derek Anderson. It's just a fact of life that at every position, you have to be prepared for that eventuality. Well, speaking of which, let's talk about some other team news. The Panthers re-signed Teddy Williams and Kyle Love, once again making moves to keep that veteran core together. And that's what we've seen in free agency this season. Is this move also another example of ensuring that the special teams core stays together, guys?
Well, Mike, to your point about special teams, obviously Teddy Williams, we know what he brings to the table is in that part of the game. One of the fastest players in the league. It's tremendous in the coverage units. And you start to think about what the Panthers have done with their special teams units. Russell Shepard was a guy who was brought in with a very, very high acumen for special teams as a guy who's tremendous on coverage as well. So you pair him with Teddy Williams, and you start to feel pretty good about what you've got from your coverage units. Of course, Teddy, you know, as I talked to him after he signed, got his first opportunity to play really significant snaps on defense last mm-hmm. year. He got his first career interception. Then he suffers a season-ending knee injury. So he's still trying to prove that he's growing on defense and will continue to battle for a rotational role. The other signing, Kyle Love, shores up the Panthers' defensive tackle spot. I mean, you got to feel pretty good about the four they've got with KK Short getting the franchise tag, Star Latulele, of course, Vernon Butler, the first-round pick from a year ago coming into his sophomore season, and Kyle Love, who's always been able to provide a bit of a spark for this defense, plays with a lot of energy, a high motor, is able to penetrate and make some plays in the backfield, and just a generally good guy. He's a lot of fun to talk to. He said, you know, quarterbacks might be a little scared heading into the 2017 season with the defensive line Carolina's brought back with the addition of Julius Peppers. So he's excited. Panthers are excited to have him.
I mean, I was hoping that the move with Kyle, you know, would be made. We brought him back last year after 1 week, and like Mike said, the spark he led the team in sacks, what, through 4 weeks maybe last season? So you can't have enough of those guys, and, you know, Eric Washington probably is smiling, you know, with that and all the other great stuff that's happened along the defensive front this offseason.
And also new defensive coordinator Steve Wilks. I mean, he has to feel real good about, you know, his first run as defensive coordinator and what he has. And you know, the Panthers are out there scouring through the Carolinas the last couple weeks, guys. Been on the road for these pro days yesterday down in North Carolina. And one thing is obvious to me. There is a ton of talent out there. And our scouts are out there pouring over it, going to these pro days. And and I'm telling you, that draft board's going to start to take shape here in the next few weeks.
Yeah, obviously, Mike, I know you were down at Chapel Hill for UNC Pro Day. And before that, you were at Clemson, the home of the defending national champions. I guess we'll start with UNC. What were your kind of takeaways from what you saw? Obviously, Mitchell Trubisky is the top target, one of the top quarterbacks in the draft. What did you think of him and really all the other guys you saw on display?
Well, one thing that really stood out to him, my main takeaway, is when you go to these pro days now, everything is so well choreographed. And there's a point to it, because when you look at the work they did out here on the field with Trubisky and his receivers, you're watching guys go through a well-scripted play calling situation where they proved to NFL scouts, okay, I can make every throw. And there was no doubt after that. I mean, one of the routes he threw, it was a climb route that went all the way across the field. And I'm telling you, he threw that ball and it looked like it was never going to come down. Yeah. And it just proved that he could make every throw.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, is there a different comfort level? I mean, I've been out there with you before, Mike, and is this like, obviously, it's a chance for these guys to try to shine one more time with all these eyes we see in the background on them. But it's also, is there a home field advantage to this in your experience from what you've seen, so to speak, for the prospects?
Oh, yeah. And I noticed it not just here, but also at at Clemson. And when I went down there watching Deshaun Watson and Mike Williams, they just put on a show. And they actually had Carson Palmer's brother, Jordan, came in as the quote-unquote quarterback instructor for the day. And I know he's worked with Deshaun in the past. And every play and everything he did during that workout was attached to a scheme. It was attached to a protection. And it just laid out all scenarios for the quarterback. So, you know, okay, this is the thought process he's going through. He's not just dropping back and throwing the route tree, you know, which a lot of guys, everybody can do that. But can he do it based on the circumstances that he's presented with? So, you know, these guys are ready for the NFL.
Yeah. Well, we're watching some clips of Clemson here, and you see Jericho Cotchery and new wide receivers coach Lance Taylor were there as well. Wide receivers. I mean, Clemson is a wide receiver factory. I mean, you look at some of the ones they produce in recent years, it speaks for itself. DeAndre Hopkins, I mean, the Sammy Watkins. Mike Williams is next in line, Mike.
Yeah.
And I'm curious what you thought about his performance at Pro Day. He's been mocked to the Carolina Panthers with that eighth pick before. Fans, of course, have interest in him with the local tie. And I know he wasn't the only wide receiver who performed out there, but what did you think of the big-bodied wideout? I believe he ran a 4.5 40 at that size. Seemed like he helped his stock.
Yeah, because I think he's a big-body receiver, but he has all types of skills as a receiver. And he does a great job of using his body when you watch him on the field. And he did nothing to hurt his stock out there. I mean, he ran, by some estimations, 4.5 range.
Mm-hmm.
On that field turf, indoor facility, he looked good in all his routes, catches the ball well, and they were in sync. And to me, it's good to see, because you think about it, you know, they go up to that combine and different quarterbacks are throwing different receivers. They've never worked on timing together, and it's really just happenstance when they make the completion. But here, everything was so choreographed.
Right.
You got to see this guy in his natural element. And I'm going to tell you, at number eight, it's not a bad pick, but the question is, after that performance that he put on, and also Watson, will those guys be available that late?
Yeah.
Because they can move into the conversation.
No doubt. And even beyond round one, you know, of course, we saw the Panthers wide receivers coaches there. There's some other wide receivers Clemson had to offer that maybe they're looking at in some of the later rounds. Of course, that slot position is something that's been talked about.
Yeah.
So curious to see kind of what Lance and Jericho have gone over these past few weeks and see what wide receivers they're keeping their eye on. It should be interesting.
Right. Let's start talking about what's next, Brian. Because next week, on the road, a lot of stuff going on with the league meetings.
Yeah, headed to the league meetings this weekend in Phoenix. Should be interesting as always. You know, compensatory picks have already come out. That's usually the real newsy thing there. We already know about that, that the Panthers have moved into the top 100 yet with yet another pick. But, you know, typically get a chance to talk to the Panthers brass out there. You know, there's been a lot that's happened. I mean, even since the combine, when we last talked to those guys, think about how much has happened. And then, you know, from a league perspective, you know, you get kind of state of the union from the commissioner, and typically some rules changes come down. You know, you just heard here in the last day that the committee is going to consider some changes to overtime. So always, you know, always interesting to see the tweaks they're going to make. And there's almost something that they always try to improve.
Max, in case fans haven't guessed it yet, there is something on the calendar in the NFL for every single month of the year.
It's been a busy offseason, guys, man. One thing after another. You don't know what you're going to find out each time you walk into the building. All that said, too, we're getting closer to draft day. I mean, it seemed like, you know, when the season ended, we had a while to go. We had a lot of mock drafts to pour over. We had a lot of different events to cover. And now we're getting close, and that's exciting because, obviously, the Panthers, it seems like they're going to get a great player at number eight. We've kind of been going through this process for a while now and looked at what that top 10 is going to look like. A lot of intriguing names. We're going to continue to take you through the mock drafts all the way to draft day, and that's going to be exciting because it looks like there's going to be a lot of blue-chip players, blue-chip talent available when Carolina's on the clock.
One of the things I'm going to follow up from that North Carolina Pro Day is now more than ever, it looks like the Panthers have a chance to scout and possibly draft guys, homegrown talent. And can you imagine as a kid growing up, you play your high school ball here in the state of North Carolina and South Carolina, you play your college ball, and then having a chance to play your professional career? I mean, that's pretty special. We talked to some of the guys down there in North Carolina about that possibility.
Good stuff.
We'll have that coming up on Panthers.com. Well, as always, we promise to stop talking before you stop listening. This is Mike Kraft on behalf of the entire Panthers.com crew. We'll see you right here next time on Panthers.com.